Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
He is the beginning and the end. Amen. I'd like you to turn just to Judges 6, verse 11 to 16. We're just going to look at very briefly. You see, the one that created the galaxies and the one that created the incredible stars, the universe, he is the one who is speaking to us today and saying, I am faithful and I'm true. Amen. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the yoke in Ophrah that belonged to Joaz the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our fathers told us about? When they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites together. Amen. Amen. See, the most amazing thing is that God always speaks to our potential, but we often answer with an excuse. God speaks to us, and then we answer with a limitation. Gideon is in a place of confinement, is in a place of restriction in a sense, because of probably what Israel had done and all that had happened to them. And yet in a sense, he's all of the guys are hiding in caves. And what is he doing? He's doing what he's progressing in a sense, that he's trying to find food for his family. But he's in a place that's restricting him. And you see, that's what fear does. Fear restricts us from moving in the purposes of God. It wasn't till God came to him and said, you mighty man, amen. God's speaking that to us today. You mighty man of valor. You mighty warrior. God, why was it so important? Why God just not only confronted him, but as he confronted him, he connected to him with the purpose to which he was born. I can remember, I'm going to tell you a few funny stories today, because I have them. So we're going to go from, oh my word, isn't God great, to funny, and then we're going to go, oh my word, isn't God great, to funny, but that's okay. Now, I remember years ago, I stayed around one of my mate's houses, and he had a car which wasn't too healthy. It was quite poorly, I should say. And when we stayed the night, we got up in the morning, wanted to go where we wanted to go, but we couldn't go where we wanted to go. Because the moment he got into the car, it went, nothing happened. Now, I know absolutely diddly squat about cars. I know a man who does, John, but I know nothing. I can remember me and my mate was about, I don't know, 6 foot something. He felt like he played basketball for England. But he was a huge guy. He opened up the bonnet. We looked at one another, and it was like we just went. You know, it was a bit like, well, I don't know what to do, you know. And the strange thing was, we needed something there, but we didn't have. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up to my mate and he says, do you want to borrow my machine? And we're thinking, like, you know, one of those little battery packs? You know, those little power packs that you have to sort of jumpstart the car? And I thought, yeah, appreciate it, mate. Yes, there's the dodo. But he says, wait a minute, I'll just go and get my machine. A couple of minutes later, now this is from, literally, we're on the edge of a housing estate. From nowhere, this guy turns up in the most huge JCB that I've ever seen. You know, the thing's puffing diesel smoke out of us. And, you know, our drawers are like, you know what I mean? And he gets, you know, when he opened up this thing had banks of batteries. Do you know what I mean? You get hold of the jump leads and your hair's on end. Do you know what I mean? If you ever were going to start a car that had a heart attack, this thing was going to start it. You know, because the moment he put it onto it, you know what I mean? Life! I give you life! And I think it was then. See, we needed to be connected into something that was greater than ourselves. We didn't have the facilities. We didn't have what we needed. But God has given you what you need. And it's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if some of you need jump starting today, then let God do it. Don't grapple with him if he's holding the jump leads. It's not a good plan. Now we're going to go into another mode now. Okay, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 10. I want you to hear this morning, because this just, don't, you can turn to it. It says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. We are connected to the source, and the source is called the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Father by the precious blood of Jesus. We can receive everything that God wants us to receive. He's not trying to, you know, as I say, don't, if he wants to come and jumpstart something today, don't fight him with the jump leads. Jesus, I submit. Thank you, Jesus, if I need, you know, just go with it. I just feel a real sense of such an incredible love that God has for this body. And I'm going to read something. Now, I've taken this from a book, but I'm going to read it to you because I thought it was that good. It says, the Holy Spirit searches for things that have never been heard by human ears or seen by human eyes. He is the greatest search engine in the whole universe. Google is not the center of the universe. Hey, there's a greater search engine than that, and he's called Jesus. Amen. And he's better, and he knows all the facts, and he never has a crash. Google can crash. Jesus will never crash. Amen. I speak to my computer. Jesus' name. Talk about accurate. He searches the greatest reservoir of information imaginable, the heart of the Father. Psalm 139 verse 18 says that God's thoughts about each one of us outnumber the sands of sand on every seashore on the planet. And according to Jeremiah 29:11, all those thoughts are for your welfare, benefit and blessing. God has been around for a long time, and he's had a long time to think about you. He's been living in the experience of knowing you before you were born. He just doesn't have a few random thoughts about you here and there. Now, this is where the trillion comes from. For trillions of years, God has been thinking about you, and the Holy Spirit searches the whole archive and brings incredible treasure to you at precisely the right moment, if you're listening. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit. He's not bad thoughts he's thinking about us. He's thinking good. He's speaking good. He's speaking blessing. Before you were ever born, we are predestined in love. Amen. It's good news. We're predestined in love, not punishment. The punishment that was placed upon Jesus, so we not get punished. Amen. We're predestined in love. And we have the Holy Spirit inside of us now, searching the deep things of God, bringing them up and saying to us, you're an overcomer. Amen. You're a holy person. You're called. You're chosen. You're set apart for my purpose. It's true. You see, what I'm really saying is, God has establish for each one of us a spacious place. He has, by the profound work. And for me, there's one scripture that just so speaks of just that. John 19, verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. The punishment that I deserved, my rebellion, my separation from God, wasn't placed upon myself. It was placed upon the very person of Jesus.
And through those precious stripes and through that blood, I have access now into the Holy of Holies. It's a gift of His grace. It's a gift of His incredible mercy. It is finished. I don't need to live in any confinement in any area of my life, because the power of the cross has broken all of that confinement, has broken those restrictions, has broken the things that have bound me. Now, in the name of Jesus, and for yourselves today, God's calling us in to a spacious place. But He's not calling us in and batting over the head. He's calling us in through love. Amen. Through love. There's a strange thing in a sense in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Praise God for the gate. And praise God that we can enter through that incredible gate, and our life is, there is only life in Jesus. Amen. But Jesus doesn't intend us to live at a level where we're living down here in a sense. I'm not talking about you being, but I'm talking about where we need to be. But when we're living down in any place of restriction. Why? Because that precious blood has enabled me to come up. Holiness, everything that God has done in me, to walk on that way. Yes, the way might be narrow. Yes, it might be a specific way, but it's still a spacious place. Amen. You see, for any of us today, forgiveness is a spacious place. Surrendering to God is a spacious place. Submitting to His Lordship is a spacious place. John, can I just borrow you a minute here? Just bring your Bible up. Just bring your Bible with you. You see, when we surrender something to God, now this is a situation, say, you know, I'm just going to, just for this illustration, John represents the Lord. Now, here's a situation that I need to give to God, okay? And I've got hold of it with my hands. And you see, when we surrender stuff to God, we're surrendering stuff to Him who is faithful, who is all of those things that He is, that we heard in that song, that incredible song. You see, what happens is, and God says, child, I want you to obey me. Surrender that issue. I want you to forgive that person. Let go. And in a sense, as we do so, now what? Okay, grab hold of this. Now, if I don't let go, who's in control? Yes. I'm still in control. Why sometimes are we still in control? Because fear prevents us from surrendering certain issues to God's heart. Because we think as we surrender them, we're going to lose. You'll lose nothing when we surrender stuff to God. Mm-hmm. Because we put it in the hands of someone who is faithful. How more precious it is if I'm carrying, in a sense, unforgiveness, and I know in my heart it's not a spacious place. So if I'm carrying offense, if in a sense of there's something that I've been carrying towards someone or a situation, and I'm there and I'm like, God, Lord, today, Lord, I thank you that today, Father, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, Lord, I give this situation to you because I know that you're faithful and that you're true. And Lord, I leave it in your hands. Thank you, Lord. It's freedom for me today. Amen. Cheers, man. It's freedom. You're going to love this word, don't we? Obedience. Oh, I really, 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 really don't like that one. Obedience is a spacious place because it puts you back in the place in a sense of you're not fighting Him. You know, if you're struggling with something, an area of sin in your life, this is the day when we say, I'm going to come out of that limitation. I'm going to come out what I've been struggling with, and I'm going to repent. Oh, that's another great word, isn't it? We love that one. I'm going to repent. We've been going that way, and we spin around and we go, God, I'm choosing to today to believe what you say in your word, that you are faithful and true, and I'm going to come to you. Because it's a spacious place. Amen. How do I know this? You see, worship is a spacious place. Freedom from sin is a spacious place. Submitting to his lordship is a spacious place. When the circumstances are tough, what are we doing? God, the one who is to come, who is always, I'm fixing my eyes. I'm taking my eyes off. And I'm fixing my eyes upon you. Because as I fix my eyes upon you, that very thing becomes bigger. And we, in a sense, the situation becomes in line with the greatness of who he is. Worship brings us into. If you, let's just turn to Acts 16:22. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged and they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up and when he saw the prison doors open, he said, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." That's a spacious place. Paul and Silas in the middle, they've just had a right old pummeling. They've just been beaten, severely flogged. They were taken into the darkest place in a sense in the natural, but they were free in their spirit. They were in the spacious place in that sense because they weren't allowing anybody else, that thing that was done to them, to prevent them from relating to Jesus. They forgive as they've been forgiven. They let go. And there they were, exalting God. Now, we've... sorry, this is one of those funny stories. We've just got a hamster. And I know what you're thinking. The only reason why we'd have a hamster is to teach your children about bereavement. But we have a hamster. Well, some of you were thinking that, hamster. You're all thinking, oh, 2 years, 2 years. And he's like, you know... And I know that. Now, my son loves him. I know that. You know, it's just like, come on, hamster, survive longer. Well, we know it's going to happen one day, but that's okay. Now, bless his little heart. If you know anything about hamsters, he's got a little cage. It's a little bit like a little prison. And we haven't bought him a big one. That's just, no, we haven't. We were given a cage. And... between the hours of about, let's just say when it's daylight, and probably about 10 o'clock, there's absolutely nothing that this thing does. He just sits and sleeps and sleeps and sleeps and absolutely nothing. 10 o'clock at night, there's another story. I come down in the middle of the night, and this thing's going round on his wheel so fast that it's created a time warp in the kitchen. And, you know, he's just like, he's on top of his little hat, he's got the bars, you know what I mean? He's swinging, he's doing somersaults and cartwheels, the rest of it. It's bananas. I went in there one day, and I'm sure he did this to me, right? What he does is, when you walk in, he's going like the clappers. And what he does is he stops. He looks around, and he went... You know why? Because he's in training. He wants to get out of his cage. You see, if I left the door, the little flap of a door open, he's not going to be... He's been practicing for months now. That's what he's got in his head. That's what he's thinking. I'm going to get myself so fit as there's just a slight chance of this door opening. I'm going to be out of here. For those who've had hamsters, I think we'd appreciate what that's like. But that's what he's like. When you got him, he's like, get out, get out, get out, escape, get out, escape, get out, escape. That's just his mind. You see, looking at this scripture in Acts is absolutely amazing. You see, here's the situation. Paul and Silas, I understand. They're in there. preaching the gospel. All the chains come off. They all fall off. And what happens? No one leaves. You could say it was the gospel. But actually, no one leaves the confinement. How crazy for people in prison. Well, all the chains come off and the bars are opened. Why, it's easier for us to stay in the confines of what we know rather than move into a spacious place. Yeah? Sometimes our mistakes and failures keep us in a place of restriction or isolation. The enemy uses shame and condemnation to bring us into isolation or to keep us from traveling on the journey that God has for us. Here's a true story now, okay? Have you ever been in a train? Put your hands up. In a train. Work with me. Been on a train, yeah? Just show that you're still alive. Been on a train and you've nodded off. And when you've nodded off, you've not realized where you are on the journey. You know, obviously, you know when that tends to happen, when you nod off on a journey, you don't tend to get up and think, I had a lovely sleep. Where am I now for my next stop? Usually it's, You know, you could be in John O'Groats by then and you already wanted to go to London. You don't know what's, you know, part of the journey. And this is a situation with a man. Now, I'm going back to the days, okay, when they used to have handles and doors on trains. Do you remember that? Yeah. It's not a steam train, so don't take me back that far. It's handles and doors, right? And you know when they had those windows where it says, do not lean out, guaranteed, full of children going, hey, you know, train coming, hey, it's like that. Do you remember those? Yeah, that's Gary, thank you. Now, bless him, this guy, okay, he's been a deep sleep, and he realizes that the train has stopped. But what's happened with the train has not stopped where he thought it would stop, actually in a station. So in his panic, he gets up, right? He opens the door and goes, out of the door. So the train's still stationary. So here he is. He falls out of the door. He's covered in blood. Okay, then. And he's really hurt himself. And all of a sudden, he suddenly says, oh, no. Because obviously he's disorientated now. He gets up now. He gets back into the train. He thinks he's got off on the wrong side. He now goes to the other side of the compartment. And he falls off again. Now, because he's fallen off, you know what I mean? He's now really bloody. Now, this is the bit for me. If I'd have done that the first time, I would have walked home. I wouldn't have got back onto the train. I would have been embarrassed. But no, he falls off twice. And you know what he does? He comes and sits in his seat. He sits back where he's supposed to be. What's the moral of the story? If you've fallen off the edge, if you've gone off on something, and you know you've hurt yourself, now is not the time to do it. Do it a DIY, Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. But now's the time to get back onto the journey, back onto where you're supposed to be placed and where you're seated, because God's got a destination for you. Amen. Condemnation is not our inheritance. It's true. What's been happening over the last 3 weeks? God's setting us free with his love. God's setting us free so we can love people. So we can love ourselves, love each other, but love people. I could have the band up, please, guys. Cheers. 1 John 4, verse 18 and 19. I love this passage in the Amplified Bible. It says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection.
We love him because he first loved us. Okay, Chad, do you want to just pray? Okay. I just hope, just in this short time, that wherever you're at today, Jesus hasn't changed. Wherever you're at today, now some of you might be hurting about a situation. Some of you may be in a constriction of a situation. Some of you just need to obey the Lord. Some of you may be in a place in your prayer life where things have been really dry and you know that you need to get back in there with God and just sort it out. In love, he's calling you back today. Amen. Now we're going to give just an opportunity now. I'm going to ask the life group leaders if you could just come to the front. And some of the people I've spoken to, just the life group leaders, please. And if you could sort of turn around. Now, what's important is just to know that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity where you're saying to the Lord, you know that if you've been in a place of restriction, you know you've been in a place of hurt. Jesus has broken everything, every power of fear, every power of the enemy in his precious name. And today, you can come out of any restriction. But what's important when you do come out, you need to sort of literally verbalize it. You need to say to the person who's praying for you, this is what the Lord said to me, and I'm coming out of that place of restriction. If it's forgiving the person, I'm forgiving the person. If you believe the lie, say, Lord, please forgive me that I believe the lie, and I'm coming in to a spacious place today. And just let God's love touch you. Amen. Should we stand here? If you know that's for you in any way, doesn't matter what it is, it's just an opportunity today. You can come forward now.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.